Matters. I'm Juliet Gutierrez, and I'm your host for today's podcast. I'm really excited about today's guest, as it's one of our very own Compliance Alliance staff members, Amanda Mattson. She is the Executive Vice President of Assurance Services at Compliance Alliance. She manages the day-to-day operations and staff of our Audit and Review Division. Amanda brings nearly 20 years of banking experience at both large national banks and community banks, where she's held many officer positions. She is a certified community bank compliance officer and a certified community bank internal auditor. She is a wonderful asset and resource to not only our members, but also to our team. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for sending us your bio.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Hi, Cass. Yes, very excited.
Yes, well, we're so glad to have you. How's your summer been going?
Good. Busy, but, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be. A little
it's
more
playing
down.
And...
That's right.
Awesome. Well, I want you to share some of your experiences and your advice with our listeners. But before we get into all of that, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into banking?
Sure. So, as you mentioned, I'm the Executive Vice President of Assurance Services here at Compliance Alliance, and another part of the company is the Audit and Review Division. So, as far as my experience, I've been at this company for about 2.5 years, and I got into banking actually when I graduated from college in Michigan, where I live. So, I was hired essentially as a secretary for a lending office, and within 2 years, I had my own branch office. So eventually I moved on from lending and went into retail banking, and I was then a vice president at a couple of national banks and moved around the country a little bit, Montana and Wyoming, and then I moved back to Michigan and started working for a community bank, and then joined Compliance Alliance, and the rest is history.
Well, nice. So it sounds like you've kind of moved around a bit. I don't think that any of us just, you know, plan to get into banking. We sort of, you know, start in it and, you know, we blank and 10, 20 years pass and, you know, we're still in the field. So awesome. Great background. Well, the audit function is such a critical piece of the bank's overall compliance expectations. So I imagine that selecting the right firm is really going to play an important role in that function. What should banks be looking for when they're researching and selecting an audit firm?
I think that one of the most important things would be just to be honest as you're shopping around. So tell the firm that you're looking into, what did you like or dislike about your prior firm? And probably most importantly, what's prompting the need for either the audit you're looking for or the reason you're leaving or changing a firm? So, but depending on the firm, here at Assurance Services, we can adjust our scoping for, you know, more or less of certain areas. So, you know, just being honest about your needs is going to make sure that actually what you're looking to achieve is done.
Okay. Now, typically it's significant to have some bank experience when you're talking about audit and the compliance function. How important is it for those audit firms to have some of that in-bank experience? Is that equally as important?
Oh, absolutely. So we really pride ourselves on the amount of years of experience, you know, in the bank, in the building, in your shoes that we can bring with our team. And, you know, a lot of times when you're looking for a firm, and we've been hearing this a lot lately, the size of your institution and the size of the firm matter. So if you're looking to get, there are a lot of great audit firms out there. And if you're looking for one, but you have a $50 million bank or a $5 billion bank, your needs can be different. And I think that's important, not only with the team that's going to be working with you, but the firm itself and how they conduct the audit. So for instance, with us, you know, do they have certifications? How much experience do they have in the bank? And, you know, what kind of a solution are they going to offer if they do find something that could be improved? There's also nothing wrong with asking for references. So we have quite a few banks that'll ask for even an example of our reports that we write or our request list, just to know kind of what the audit will consist of and what your results are going to be.
Sure. Okay. And what are some of the areas that should be included in an audit? And, you know, what should banks expect to see from a sample size?
Sure. So sample sizing is important. And we see many various sizes depending on firm, large or small. And it's going to vary a lot by the type of audit. So if a bank's looking for an audit firm, that firm should be looking the other direction and looking at the bank's entire process. So our sampling, for instance, is always statistical. So unless the data for some reason prevents it, we use a statistical calculator to come up with our sample sizes. And we actually use the one from Compliance Alliance, which is on the website. So what it does is it kind of takes the human factor out of selecting sample. So it's completely a random number generated. And I think we get a better sample that way. And they say it's a 90% accuracy rate. So that type of sampling is generally preferred.
Okay, so a lot of it's going to be based on the need of the bank as well.
Right.
I guess.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Well, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I think that, you know, if the bank has a certain area they want to focus on, you can always increase the sample. Nothing has to be, you know, completely statistical. And so it has to be something that's discussed again when you're shopping for a firm. What area would you like to focus on specifically?
That's great. So the audit function, we've heard, isn't complete when the audit is complete. We've heard that it's, kind of just the beginning, or there's still a ton of work to be done on both the auditor side and the banking side. What should banks expect to see in terms of that turnaround time when it comes to reports and findings? And, you know, what do auditors expect to see, from the banks? What do they expect to see when they receive those findings and when they receive those reports? I know that's a loaded question.
Right, exactly. It's going to depend, of course, but we feel that our firm is very fast compared to some others. We complete our standard audits in 5 days, and then within 14 days of the exit meeting, you have your draft report. And that is something that, you know, is kind of rare, I think, in the audit business. Also, in our reports, we try not to just issue findings. We try to give you a solution and a way to correct something. So, you know, the bank may not be doing anything wrong per se, but maybe there's a different way to accomplish a task, a time saver. And that can also be included in the report. And that's something that goes back to that experience that the audit firm has and that the actual auditors have. So speaking of timing, we've actually worked with banks who have forgotten that they had been audited at the beginning of the year because it was now fourth quarter and they didn't have a report yet. And as we look at that and the bank is trying to actively correct an error or get better for an exam, or, you know, they have something coming up, just operate in a safe and sound manner. But the turnaround time is really important. You know, you want that feedback. That's what you're paying an outside firm for.
Okay. If a bank has an audit team that seems to be working really well for them, do you recommend that they stick with that firm? Or, you know, is there a standard for the time frame or contract that a bank should use an audit firm?
Well, again, that's going to vary. I don't think there's anything set in stone. What we generally see is a switch probably every 3 to 5 years if you're using an outside firm. And we have seen banks where the audit committee or the actual board of the bank is going to have a written policy that says we will only use a firm for X number of years before we switch. And that's just to keep, you know, a new set of eyes, fresh set of input on what they're looking at. If the bank's completing their own audits in-house, which is very common, internal auditor, whoever you have on staff, if you're not hiring an outside firm, we would probably recommend that every few years you do seek someone from the outside for a review. And it's not necessarily because anyone is doing anything wrong. It's just that we find that banks who have been in that position and then hire us, especially, they'll kind of be surprised at the number of findings and recommendations that we have. And again, it's just a different set of eyes. Plus, we're hearing feedback constantly of what examiners are looking for. And we all know that there's always a shift in regulations and scrutiny and focuses change. So if you're worried about the day-to-day operations of a bank, you may not be able to hear that information as much as an outside company could to keep up on the hot button topics.
Sure. So lately, I know you guys are staying busy on the audit side. You're constantly, you know, there's constantly changes in the regulatory world and the regulatory landscape. What are some of those hot topics that you get asked a lot of questions about, or, you know, some of those hot areas where maybe you see a lot of issues or concerns or things like that?
But one of the ones that comes to mind recently is we've been asked for a lot of fair lending and CRA reviews. That has been definitely a regulatory focus lately, at least what we're hearing from exam feedback. And so that may not have been such a large focus in the last few years, but lately it's coming up again. And it could be the change in the lending environment. You know, things change. And so, you know, different ways of lending and reviewing something may also have to change with that. So that's been one item. Another one we see is actually Regulation E. So debit card disputes and things like that. There's been a pretty big focus on that in I think kind of the last 6 months. And we've been having banks call specifically for that type of review, a standalone review on how their bank is processing claims.
Okay. Do you think anything with the Reg E has to do with all of this fraud that we're seeing, this, you know, huge increase in fraud in so many different areas of the bank?
Yes. And also, I think the way that the fraud is being committed, you know, it's just we kind of hear something sure. new every day, a new avenue of taking a debit card number or what have you. That definitely plays a part. And of course, even out of check fraud, you know, everything that would be something to protect the customer and make sure that they're getting any fees back and that they're protected. Any item that's going to be focusing on those areas is obviously being scrutinized for.
Well, Amanda, what do you enjoy most about your job at Compliance Alliance?
I think that we have a little bit different focus in our audit area. We try not to be the scary auditors. We try to be a partner to the bank. And, you know, we can offer solutions and tools and things that other firms can't do. And so people hear audit and get a little nervous and they think, okay, I'm going to get in trouble. And, you know, we get a lot of feedback from our banks that we're not scary. We come in, we try to help, we try to partner with the bank. And we also, you know, we get to give them credit for what they're doing right, which is nice. You know, we know that it's a struggle, staffing's a struggle. You know, we can give them other ideas on how to do things, maybe save some time. And I think just, you know, having all these tools and resources, including all of our staff members in the company, it's really amazing. We can offer sort of a one-stop solution for everything that the bank needs regarding that.
Great. And I love that you say you don't want the auditors to be scary, because how true is that? We always, you know, we always want our banks to really look at auditors like a resource. They're a tool to help you. They're not there. They shouldn't be anyway. They shouldn't be there to be, you know, scary. They really should be there to serve as a tool and a resource. So I really like that, you know, that's kind of the, you know, the culture of our audit team. So that's awesome. Well, Amanda, you shared a lot of really great information with us. Before we start wrapping up, do you mind sharing one piece of advice with our listeners?
Sure. I think that who you choose for your audit team is obviously very important. It doesn't always work out. And you want to make sure that you're not with a gotcha audit firm, I hope you did say. We try not to be that way. As I said before, you want someone to be your partner. If they have a question about one of your findings, you don't want a firm that's going to, sorry, that's our finding. That's the way it is. For even doing your report, if there's a question about a report, you want to be comfortable going back to that firm because you want to be able to fix it. And having that level of intimidation or something like that is not, you know, very productive when it comes to trying to improve your situation. So, auditors don't need to be feared by the banks. And generally, I think that, and I hope that all firms agree that banks are trying to do the right thing with the resources that they have. So we recognize that. And we just hope that whoever your audit firm happens to be has that same outlook. You're trying to do the right thing.
Well, that's fantastic advice. Thank you, Amanda. And thanks again for joining us. We really, really are happy to have you today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we hope you'll join us again. For the rest of our listeners, that's Banking Matters.